Oh, he's got his tongue out.
Hello, and welcome to I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside, a show that, well, there was this one time, just this one time, we was lost on the way to recording, or was it our 8th album?
I thought we didn't make the 8th album. I thought we skipped it.
No, we recorded it, but then we lost the tape.
Guys,
was that the one, the Hippie Eight?
Yes.
Guys, you traded the 8th album for a ham sandwich. Remember that.
All right.
I love ham sandwiches.
I still have my share.
So do I. It's wonderful. It replaced my left shoe.
It replaced my ex-girlfriend.
I'll drink to that.
My name is Scott.
I'm Jim.
And I need a beer, and I'm Jeff.
I'm Dan.
And Dan also needs a beer.
Don't drink.
You're doing it wrong.
And on the topic of girlfriends being replaced by sandwiches, this episode is brought to you by Arby's.
$5 for 5 roast beef every Monday.
Bags of liquid meat. Seriously, what the hell? I love the fact nobody can sue us.
We'd have to have something for them to take.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you just joining us, they have had a lot to drink. They're going to find my jokes hilarious tonight, and I realize they're not as funny as they think they are.
No, we haven't. We're about halfway through a pint each.
Yeah.
That's it.
We're just high on life, man.
Yeah.
High on life.
It's hotter than fuck up here.
Okay. They are lying to you right now. Perhaps it wasn't the beer. Perhaps there was something else happening before they came on. They are lying. Accept it.
I'm incapable of lying. Except when telling the truth.
I've never betrayed anyone.
Topical.
Okay, so pick of the week, where we have a thing for the week. We pick. Mason, go.
Alright, my pick is the newest Lego Star Wars movie, or
short
clip
thing,
whatever, the Droid Tales Exit for Endor, where the guys clearly got to pull out every joke about the prequels that they couldn't use because they were the boss's precious little babies. When 3PO starts a story, it all began with a trade dispute and hand shouts, boo, boo, move to the point.
Get to the lightsabers.
I still hate the fact that the actual explanation for the trade issue is addressed in a novel, not at the beginning of the fucking movie.
Oh, it's also, the trade issue is also the thing that has, you know, rendered Valorum impotent politically.
Yeah.
And it's...
not addressed.
No.
They're just like, yeah, no, he's just useless. And it's like, that's Terrence Stamp.
You listen to that, yeah. Man.
You kneel before that man.
All right, my next one's going to Jim.
Ah, Jesus Christ, man, right under the fucking bus. I have no idea. Anything happened this week? I picked up Rashomon.
Oh!
So let's go with Rashomon. The short version, because I'm pretty sure we've dealt with that Rashomon through the course of the AFI, haven't we?
No, because it's not American and they're
wrong.
You're
right, we bitched. We bitched that they didn't put Rashomon on there. Rashomon's a wonderful movie.
That's not how I remember it.
Fuck you, Rashomon's a wonderful movie.
I
don't care if Brew remembers it differently, and I don't care if Sam's the only one who remembers it accurately.
The point is no one remembered it accurately.
Exactly.
I love that movie.
It's Akira Kurosawa. It's a wonderful film. It is... I'm going to give real brief because it's a good enough movie you should actually go and see it, track it down. It's available on Criterion. It's... you can find it. It's good. It's a murder mystery. In a manner. Told from 4 separate perspectives. It's great. And again, it's Kurosawa.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go wrong. This man is an impeccable filmmaker. Go watch Rashomon. Do yourself a favor. Watch some classic Japanese cinema. Get some culture and enjoy yourself. And you know what? I'm going to be nice to you tonight.
Oh.
I'm throwing it to Jeff.
Damn it.
Sucker.
Okay. My pick of the week goes to, and I know I'm very late to this bus, but I don't care, Kill la Kill. I've been watching it on Cartoon Network. It aired its second to last episode last night as of this recording. The whole premise of this show sounded utterly ridiculous, and to be fair, it is.
It has to
this
be.
This is basically what would happen if you took Love Hina, a little bit of Bleach, a little bit of Naruto, a little bit of DBZ, a little bit of Penny and Stocking with Garter Belt, nice big helping of Gurren Lagann, put it in a blender, and this is what would come out.
And flip and all the genders.
It's freaking glorious. The fight scenes are amazing. The comedy is ridiculous but awesome. There are more one-liners in episodes than I can keep track of. And every episode ends on a huge cliffhanger that you didn't see coming. I like animes where I don't know what the hell's going on. And hey, for most of this damn series, I'm like, the hell?
Hey, Jeff, don't unbody Robo.
Scott, go.
So my pick of the week is, I'm actually going to go play in a similar ground. It's Ninja from Animation, the follow-up to Kill la Kill from Studio Trigger, which is being simul-dubbed by the fine folks at Funimation. It is equally crazy. I've only seen the first two episodes because I'm kind of waiting for... basically, every Trigger show has that turn halfway through, and I want to be able to binge-watch it all from the point of that turn, because it is... Waiting week to week is just not satisfying. It's why I had trouble with the second half of Kill la Kill, because I'm like, no, I can't do this week to week. I'm going to turn around and then, you know, let it all come out. And then, oh, hey, it's even on Netflix now. I'm going to burn through all of this.
Well, I have freely admitted I found a place that's airing the English dub pirated online, and I'm doing everything I can. Just, no. I got to wait for the finale next week.
Be a good boy. Watch it for realsies.
Yeah.
Don't give them money for it because they want weird, stupid money.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
It's Aniplex USA. No. It's like $100 a disc. Yeah.
It'd be one thing if they were like $100 for the whole series. I'd be like, you know, that sucks. But
it's
okay.
A little high, but
is it $100 for a disc that has three episodes on it?
Yeah. It's like, Japanese joking, right? Marketplace. Yeah. And I'm like, no. No, thank you, good sir. I will save my money for right stuff.
Yep.
Eventually, they'll come out with like a Kill la Kill box set for right stuff or something, and they'll get it. Maybe not cheap, but cheaper than that.
Yeah.
No. They'll keep the prices up there, and for the price of one disc, you can buy three series.
What's the Gurren Lagann box going for these days? $300? Four?
It's a kid's disc.
I think it's $300 for the DVD. For the Blu-ray, it's got to be $450.
Jesus Christ. Why?
Because Aniplex.
But, like, does the Blu-ray give you a free blowjob with every viewing or something? I don't understand.
Even though they're on DVD, I'm so glad I picked the show and the movies up on DVD before Bandai went under.
Yeah, there's that. So speaking of Bandai going under, our topic tonight is... Gundam Build Fighters Try!
Hey!
That was way more successful than we thought it would ever possibly be. Let's rush another season into production.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, oh, you it's like lacking. This, don't you? You like this. We need to strike this while it's hot. Yeah.
Hey, remember when we did last year, we did the Build Fighters, like, what do we want in a sequel? The option was... New story in the same universe, new story with the same characters, new stories with a new set of characters, but maybe some of the old characters have cameos.
Yeah.
We got our third option.
Yeah, and I was really happy.
Cameos were barely existent, but they were still there.
Well, we got Rao. And Rao got his Dom, and a magnificent Dom it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And I got my two of my top 10 characters of all time in any Gundam series were in this show. First being Miss Fumina Hoshino, the first female lead in a Gundam series.
Just to get pushed aside by Domon 2.0.
Hey. I don't care. She was the lead from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
It was a nice ensemble cast. I like the three of them. I like how they play off of each other. And you know what? She was a girl in a Gundam show who got to be good at things.
She was as much of a metalhead as Ryusei is in Super Robot Wars.
Yeah, like she's the super nerd
Like,
she's the audience surrogate right there.
Yeah. They ever toss that series into SRW?
They will, and I look forward to it.
Oh, that day's going to come, and it's going to be glorious.
And but then 3 years later, I'll play it with the translation patch.
I'm hoping they will have some sort of conflict occur with Kusuo around, just because all of a sudden he's got a girl he can geek out with.
Oh.
And it's like, who are you? And it's
the love quadrangle just got more complicated.
Yep.
Oh, wait. Holy shit, everyone will want Say's mom.
Yeah, Say's mom comes along.
Except she's also...
No one cares.
Except she's also Misato.
Yep.
So they're going to hate each other or be best gal pals. I don't know which.
And suddenly we have the image of Misato and Say's mom in a bar drinking, and I like that image.
Oh, they're going to be the insert shot in the mandatory Hot Springs episode.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
God damn it, why isn't this being made right now?
Give it 2 years, it'll happen.
Oh, I know, it's probably actually being made right now.
No, they still maintain the 2-year moratorium.
Yeah, but I mean, we've got, like, they're probably starting work because they've already announced one title, but they don't have the next title announced yet.
In time for BX3.
But okay, we went somewhere completely off topic.
We went pretty far. So Build Fighters Try is the sequel to Build Fighters. It's Yugi Man's for Gundam nerds. This time around, it's a team event. It's all high school. So you get literally three times as many characters and a lot more of the love triangle stuff from... Not even love triangle stuff, but more sort of romantic comedy elements.
Yeah.
It's not nearly as fun as the Meat Bun Chronicles from Build Fighters. But yeah. I like Gyanko.
Well, I didn't. I kind of just ignored all the romantic comedy bits of this, just because there's so much silliness going on otherwise.
Oh no, it is still silly. It's not quite as cameos galore, but they do get their shoutouts in. They shout out to some other Bandai shows, and what it reminds me of most is the last episode. They have the big dog pile fight, and it's basically for no consequence this time.
Yeah.
But everyone's in it, and everyone's running around, and you just look at it, it's like, well, they're having fun. There's no stakes, there's no consequence, but
the world is not ending if they lose this time.
Yeah, this is the complete opposite of the end of the first season, where we're having dimensional cross.
Like, this is just like, you know what, it was fun, it was my Wednesday morning brain candy.
Yeah.
Like, I know, I think a segment of the fandom sort of was like, oh, this is a stupid Yugi Man sports ball anime, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to use the term, I try not to use the term sports ball to mock sports fans, but at the same time, this is pretty sports ball.
Yeah.
It's shown a tournament show with a Plamu's aesthetic at it.
Yeah.
War is hell every single time I turn on the fucking TV.
And for Build Fighters, the original Build Fighters tried to have at least a little bit of a serious tone in between all the gags. Build Fighter Try says, that serious tone, screw it. We're just going for complete nuttiness. Let's rock.
Well, we get serious once in a while. We get serious in Junpei.
Yeah, like
a little bit serious. As soon as it's over, he hops in a car with...
With
Slager. And he says, hey, since when did you have a driver's license? Hey, yesterday. The hell?
Let me out. No, I'm fine.
We're fine.
Two episodes later, that car is held together by spit and duct tape.
Yep.
Right.
You'd think he'd have access to some modeling cement, but...
His team didn't continue. Maybe they lost their supplies.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think Zappa Gap's that good on a car.
Apparently, it can be used to fix mid-battle and repaired to perfect seal. So I'm not really going to rule out fixing a car.
That's when you use the wonderful rapid cure, even though it makes the connection as brittle as hell.
Yeah.
That's like it. Like, they're filling in fissures completely, sanded over, totally smooth. It's like nothing's ever even touched this. And they don't even realize it until you're watching this in repeat. Like, a judge is looking at this going, what the fuck is that?
I'm almost sort of surprised for a sports ball anime, there wasn't a lot of color commentary.
No.
Like, I mean, I realize you still have, like, Mr. Ryle being Coach's Corner, but I think because they had three people on screen, they could banter at each other.
Well,
I was sort of surprised there wasn't, like, literally someone ringside banter from what's-his-face American guy.
Well, you kind of got, I mean, they didn't pull the you know, WWF commentators, but you had the supporting characters commenting on it. You had
Simon and Genko to be that role.
Simon was awesome.
Well, one of my favorite scenes in the whole show is one of the best pieces of commentary. And I'd like to get on this guy a little bit later. We'll come back to him. Minato Sakai, when he first shows up with the Trion 3.
Oh, my God.
The whole thing transforms, and everyone just kind of stares at it, slack-jawed.
It's like, what is that?
And they all look up at Majin Kawaguchi's like, is this okay? And he goes,
kids having fun.
Gundam is life. And everyone kind of goes, okay.
Roll out.
It's clearly just a souped-up Double Zeta.
Yeah, right. But they went, like...
Oh,
like,
yeah, they went full super robot on it. I fucking loved it.
I love that machine.
Well, like, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, you remind me of a good line in my review.
I had a good line in my review, and I want to use it again. So, the Trion 3 is walking up to that line between real robot and super robot, and shows like G Gundam who crossed that line or stepped over that line. Trion 3 walks up to the line, sets it on fire, puts on a red Speedo, a rainbow afro wig, and pole vaults over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just cemented.
And he is way gone.
It just cemented to me how much Double Zeta is already a super robot.
Well, right. As soon as those drums start going in the old original series, you know, it's like, oh, it's transformation time.
Yep.
Kind of get real.
Well, I just like... Sakai is probably my favorite character from this whole series, because this guy shows up as a Gundam arms dealer, essentially, selling off his wares to, you know, fighters. And then he decides, oh, I'm going to teach these kids a lesson. I'll show you how to build a Gundam. He builds a Gundam or a Gunpla with a Kamehameha wave.
Yeah.
He built an SD kit in a Kamehameha. I'm like, you know what? I don't care what kind of madness we're pulling right here. I can't do that.
Well, he's the one person with a rivalry I actually could believe, because he's like, Yuma, now that you're back in it, I want you to face me with your best Gunpla at its most powerful. He's like Goku almost like that.
Oh, no, I mean, he's dead. Well, again, we go back to the Shonen Jump analogy. Like, he's not going to really do anything that isn't the utmost, most sportsmanly.
See, it's funny, because I actually really dislike Sakai. Because, especially since he had the Trion, I'm like, you're clearly...
No, you're talking about Minato.
No. Okay. No, I'm talking about Sakai.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, Well, we're not going to get into the fact that I hated the asshole in the glasses whose name suddenly escapes me, and that's fine. But no, Sakai, I was like, fuck you. Fuck you. You're in a super robot, and you do not understand what that means. You've got all this passion for nothing. You're just mad. You're mad that your rival doesn't respect you. You're mad that he beats you. You're mad that you have to prove it, and you can't even keep that up. Fuck you. You would not be in a getter. Ryu would beat the shit out of you.
Like, at the end of that fight, he was like, that was a good battle, and then his Gunpla explodes.
Yeah.
Well, I think he started out that way. Like, why am I joining this? To kick my rival's ass. But eventually, he makes friends with those guys he just showed up with.
Those kids are like, you know what? This is our last shot at the junior title. We're just here to kick it. You can kick it with us.
Yeah. And I'm not saying he doesn't improve. That's one thing I can really give credit to this show. Everybody gets an arc.
Yeah. I mean, some of it's a little brief, but I think, you know, even having Lucas let Nemesis pop back up.
Really light.
He pops back in, and, you know, it's like, I love that every other kid has some obscene gimmick, and it's heavily customized, and one guy shows up with a crossbone. That's just the crossbone.
But that's...
Like, the crossbone is broken enough, we don't need to make anything up for it.
Well, and it's not like he shows up in the most broken of crossbones. He shows up with a full claw.
Yeah,
that's dangerous. Right. That's not the three.
But that's not the three double Kai.
I'm looking at that, and I'm going, you're a threat, but I've seen more dangerous suits.
Well, I like the way he did that. It's like, everyone is scared shitless of this guy. I'm like, he's showing up at a full cloth crossbone by himself, and you're saying you three can't beat him? And you see why. He's like, oh, his other two guys, all they're there for is batteries. So he's got all the energy.
Like, he can burn out the way the other people can't.
Yeah.
Right. He'll just get recharged and come at you again. I'm like, oh, I get it now. He's just going to blow everything up, and then you lose.
It's not an unreasonable tactic.
Yeah.
Big Zom would have worked real well if we could have pulled that.
Which, by the way, speaking of blowing up everything, Tron 3 won that match against the Team Build Fighters. I don't care what the hell happened.
Yeah.
He had him frozen in the sky, fired the big beams, like, he's dead. It's like, no, suddenly Fumito's mech can start moving. Why? Because!
Reasons!
Magic!
Bullshit! Because now we have a whole bunch of rules with the Plavsky particles.
Okay, yeah.
Plavsky particles, they've been the MacGuffin since the beginning. Anything that happens, Plavsky!
Like, well, here's the thing. They introduce a character that can just do stuff with him because he's really good at kung fu. And it's right. Not like... And people just sort of like, oh, this is a thing that happens to some guys sometimes.
It's the berserk system.
Like, you don't consider this like a performance-enhancing drug. You don't...
I would be concerned for this on a health level.
Like, I'm glad that there's a nurse's office at the tournament grounds.
Well, this kid breaks his fucking arm. And they're like, no, the kid can keep playing. And it's like, what?
Are you really a nurse?
Toy. His That's tiny thing. Plastic toy's arm got shattered, and his arm is nearly fragmented, and you're okay with this as an adult.
You're an adult with a medical training.
Yeah, that's the thing that kind of bugged me, is they started...
You have money on this?
Yes.
They started implementing, like, ideas, but didn't follow through. Like, oh, apparently because it's reverse engineered, there's limits to how long the suits can go, and there are types of attacks and stuff.
Well,
Except for the Build Burning Gundam, that thing can be dead, completely and utterly dead. Then it fires a friggin' phoenix.
The problem
is I'm so used to having, you know, solid, you know, rational lines in Gundam series. And this series is, like you said, a shonen series. Screw rational lines. There are no lines.
Was trained by Domonkashu.
And we did have a chi attacking technique in Build Fighters. So we can't say this shit just came out of nowhere.
Like, this is an expansion of the crazy of last year.
Yeah.
Well, I like the fact that the end, is like, okay, there's this guy who looks like Domon.
No, that really is Domon.
Turns around, no, it's really Domon.
Yeah, it's just Domon.
That's what he did. He left Neo Japan and started teaching kids in Guyana.
Yep.
I guess.
I'd learn from him.
Hey, I would take trip down. We'd hang out.
Yeah.
Really, you go down there rather than some, like, secluded martial arts school. It's literally just, like, summer camp.
Yep.
And Domon is continuously standing on a cliff looking out at the sunset. The sun never actually sets, though.
No, it never rises, never sets.
The east is burning red.
And it just burns continuously, apparently. Yep.
Yes, always, because he wills it.
Yeah.
And the will of Domon cannot be prevailed upon by anything.
If Devil Gundam can't beat it, it can't beat it.
So what you don't see is Master Asia on the other side looking at a moon that is not rising, so we're kind of stuck in the middle.
Yes.
Master Asia is just holding the sun in place.
Right.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, he can do that. We've never actually seen anything that proves he can't. Everybody keeps pitting Goku against Superman. I want Master Asia against Superman. I'm actually serious. The more I think about it, I'm like, I'm not actually totally convinced Clark can beat him.
I mean, maybe. Like,
but he takes down Death Army troops barehanded.
So does Superman.
But that's...
He fought a giant mechanical spider.
Yes, but Goku doesn't, and everybody seems to think Goku's a fair fight.
There you go.
Like, Goku's androids are all human-sized and don't fire balls as big as a car.
He has killed dinosaurs, though. And they're often on balls.
Yes, but...
Anywho.
Yeah, beside the point, I think this actually did sort of fix my lingering complaints from the original Build Fighters. I think, you know, we got a lot more characterization. Our female supporting cast and leads were actually cool. They weren't, you know, they were allowed to do things other than build SD kits.
And be there as the idol that, hit the inspiration to force him to not explode. I wanted Fellini to fucking show up, damn it.
That's the one thing that did bug me, is you didn't get any cameos from season one other than, like, three people. And the villains, they didn't even really seem that interesting most of the time.
It's a sports ball show. They're just worthy rivals, or perhaps misguided teenagers.
Punk kids with a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, I kind of like the fact that they kind of put this as, this isn't, you know, the major leagues. This is almost the junior leagues, the team league.
You know, it's junior varsity.
What's coming up next is the open challenge, which means anybody and everybody can get in on this.
Yeah, like we've seen.
Only one of you.
This arc is what we didn't see prior to Build Fighters. This is a shit they would have gone through back then. It was a joke.
Like, this would have been one of those first six episodes where you're like, and here's, you know, here's you go to the Gunpla bar and you beat everyone up in it.
Yeah. Like, this is not full world tourney. These kids now get to face off against Italy, and maybe we will see Fellini show up.
Well, if they are doing a third season or an OVA follow-up, I sincerely hope that it is a generations thing.
Yeah.
Like, it is Kirk versus Picard. Don't bet on Kirk.
And if he's using the built
burning Gundam, you know, say back in the day, like, hey, no. I built that thing, you're screwed.
He built his own. He learned.
Well, he modified.
No, he built his own modification of that.
Yeah. Okay, fair.
Yeah, so, I'm putting new armor on this really good shit that he built.
Reiji didn't blow up a quarter of the Earth.
Yes.
This is true.
He stopped that from happening.
Yes.
And then he just disappeared.
He could come back.
Yes, but I still still no fucking explanation for that either. Like, nothing at all. They're like, no, we're not going to address his teleporting.
No.
At all. Nobody does that. Kids can berserk system with their units, but they don't just teleport, and we're not going to talk about that.
Where's Mr. Rao to explain it to me?
There are no lines that cannot be crossed. Speaking of which, I want to hit back on something you said earlier. I was really angry when Fumina, you know, she had that cool mech. She was fighting and then said, okay, I'm going to build me a new mech. And it's an SD kit. I'm like, oh, come on.
Well, hey, it's the raddest SD we'd ever seen in this series.
That's why. I'm like, then she fires her winning beam. Like, that is the dumbest name. And she fires a W the size of a skyscraper. I'm like, you know what? I may have misjudged this kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then she transforms into a full, you know, standard size kit. I don't know.
The legs are in the back. Like, the entire thing is basically worn like a backpack. That was the thing I liked about it. I'm like, this is a lot of hollow space that you've used smartly with engines. Like, full winning was really cool.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, parts of her suit can come off and be, you know, boxing gloves for build burning and other parts for the sniper rifle and the lightning Gundam. I'm like, she is the mech genius of this group. I don't care what anyone says about Yumina. No. Fumina's got it going on.
Well, like, Fumina, she can conceive and execute. I think the kid in the glasses is playing in a very small sandbox, and I'm surprised his arc didn't take him outside of it. Like, his final suit is just, hey, I made a cool Zeta.
Yeah.
But whereas, I mean, and I do like his arc where it's like, yeah, you tried your best. You know who tries their best? Losers.
Yeah.
Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
We went all Sean Connery there, did we?
The big difference I saw between Yuma and Fumia is Yuma, he's all about perfecting what's there. Yuma is about enhancing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Yuma winning the build contest in almost second to last episode, that was bullshit. The Mecha Fumina should have won. It was bullshit.
No.
Oh my god.
I lost because it was built without permission, though. That's the thing.
I want to cut chunks bullshit. Of my skin
made
off
the best kit.
Every time.
Everyone agreed that was the best kit. When that thing took off, everyone sat down and looked up at that kit. But maybe not for that reason. But they looked at the kit.
I think
everyone
wanted to see that kit. A fair number of them probably went kill it with fire.
I feel like there was a dedicated contingent. Yeah, and she did.
That thing apparently had a perfect facial representation of this woman, down to the point where I think there might have been skin.
Yeah.
And it's like that. No. No.
Like I said.
Okay, the hair was probably stolen from her brush.
Probably.
It's a little wrong.
We are in Uncanny Valley shit right here, and I am not comfortable with it.
Like, I'm perfectly fine with the contest going to the one who built the Rad Zeta variant, as opposed to the creepy rape doll.
No.
That was highway robbery. The bullshit move was when the Majin, you know, says, and the winner is number 9. Yes! Correction, 6. You asshole.
That's why your dice have the line under them.
The little line, it really drives it home. What the hell?
It's like, Meiji Kawaguchi is an asshat. That was just wrong.
Yeah.
He did that on purpose.
Of course he did that on purpose.
What's even better is that later in that episode, like, the lover's spat starts, and he's like, I will fight in this gunpla, and then Rawl just shows up and is like, no, I want to see this play out.
Yep.
And he'd show up sooner or later, you know, let's just see how he does.
Yeah, why not?
And then she starts panicking. Oh, that's so much worse when it moves. I'm like, I disagree. As do all the guys sitting on the floor looking up.
Yeah, no. They don't get to vote.
Yeah.
They backed away from that vote. They did.
Hi.
This is not a democracy.
You don't get to vote anymore.
Yeah.
Highway robbery.
If you're unwilling to stand up, you're not allowed to vote. We've all been through high school. We all know what it's like.
Yeah.
But yes, Build Fighters Try. Really crazy and kind of stupid, but I still loved it. I tend to like Build Fighters a little bit more.
Oh, no.
Try was still good, and if they want to make a second or third season, I'll be more than happy to watch it.
Well, Build Fighters kind of won a lot on novelty and just pushing a lot of the right fan service buttons. But yeah. I think this managed to be an interesting successor.
It managed to stand on its own, I found. Like, it didn't try to just go, hey, this is the formula that worked the first time. Let's do it again. No, they were like, we're going to merc this up. We're going to have a bit of go with it. Yes, we're going to kind of emulate some. But still.
Yeah, no, I mean, they found the bits that worked and found new ways to present it. I liked a lot of... I actually appreciated the fact of just how much of it were original designs for Max this time. As much fun as playing, you know, spot the obscure-as-fuck MSV thing was in...
Was that a Sentinel?
Of course it's a Sentinel.
That's why it exploded.
Yeah, no. Like, I appreciated seeing new stuff. I appreciated the fact that there were shoutouts to other Sunrise shows. Yeah. Like, we had the Dragonar trio in the qualifiers, and I'm like, that is rad.
That is not subtle if you know what you're looking at.
Well, I appreciate the fact that they fused the Dragonars and the Easy Eight, and it's like, no, that's super cool.
No.
You may have convinced me to buy the same kit 3 times.
Yep. Yeah, I...
Well played, Bandai, well played.
For an immediate follow-up, it was good. It was a lot better than, say, Seed Destiny was to Seed. But
we're not really aiming.
That's not a great hurdle. That's not a great hurdle.
But it did have its problems, in my opinion. I didn't really like any of the villains. Some of the characters felt a little weak, with the exception of a couple that we've already mentioned. It just seemed like all the villains were the same thing for like the long, at least until the finals of crush, kill, destroy. And I don't know if that was like, hey, you're not even enjoying the sport anymore. So I don't know if that was some kind of weird social commentary on like professional gaming now.
Oh no, I think it definitely is. Like, I mean, that's a thing that shows up in the sports ball anime. It's like, you know what, these guys have stopped playing tennis really good because of the joy of tennis.
Yeah, they're playing to win. They're not playing for fun.
They are now playing for glory or vengeance or petty agendas, and it's like, no, just play some fucking tennis, kids. Yeah.
Play for the purity. Stop saying good job every time somebody on your own team gets killed. It doesn't make you a better player. You're just a passive-aggressive asshole.
I didn't see that as much in Try as I did the first one. In Build Fighters, you saw... You know, I can't think of his name all of a sudden. He was the guy who had the crossbone at the end. Mao.
Yeah.
He got so worried and so nervous and so, you know, in-depth about it. And finally his master just said, calm down, relax, just go out there and have fun and don't worry about it.
He got beat by the guy
who knew exactly how to do that.
Yeah. And I mean, we also...
Whereas this series is, you know, everyone really wants to win.
Yeah.
Everyone really wants to win, and they have the same problem with... Sekai, he just wants to fight. He doesn't really care about, you know, I don't care if I win as long as it's a good fight.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I couldn't join the judo club because there's no judo club and this is all I can do, but I'm going to do it good. I'm going to do as good as I can.
Hey, well, and I can still fight, even if I'm punching with a little plastic toy. Although sometimes the Although sometimes the toy gets pushed and I get hurt, which, yeah. Whatever.
Well, like, him, the fight with him and Simon is, like, Fumiya and Yuma weren't fighting at their best because they were like, oh, you know, he's fighting for his kid brother. And then Sekai's just like, you know, if you don't give it at all, you're insulting him as a fighter.
Yeah.
Simon might be my favorite character from this.
Simon was awesome.
Maybe that's because I just will sit down for an afternoon and straight build a hide grid and not give a fuck, but
Simon had enthusiasm throughout it, and I like the fact that he kept coming back. Like, anytime they're like, okay, we need help, we need training, we're all burnt out and we're sitting around.
Who's
like,
going to hey, I swung by the convenience store, I bought juice.
Yep. I'm your buddy. This kid treated me straight. I appreciate it.
I'm going to be his pit crew.
Yep. I'm going to show up with my little brother. So which one of these is your girlfriend's? Everything gets awkward.
I totally ship him and Yanko. They totally work as a couple.
Yeah. Oh, I love Yanko. For the longest time, she was one of my favorite characters. And then she kind of got thrown to the wayside about halfway through. And you didn't see her that much.
I mean, how many siblings are there in that family?
As many as this show has sequels, good man.
There are a lot of Gion kits that get built, and apparently that family builds most of them.
Yep. Yeah. Someone's got to buy Gions.
I haven't seen a Krieger actually on screen yet.
When the first season of Build Fighters came out, like, Gion's sold out like crazy, and that was hilarious. That it's like, hey, screw all of our newest stuff. We're going for a 15-year-old kit.
Yeah.
Everybody wants again. Nobody wants again. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Hey, Gionko made a pretty kick-ass Gion. It's like, that's a modified Gion. Heavily modified, but looks pretty bad.
It's the Arjaja from that one episode of Double Zeta.
Yep.
Kind of, yeah.
No, it's from episode of Double Zeta.
Yep, it's got the double shields.
It's got a whole bunch of Gion shields shoved on it, I guess.
Yep. For protection.
Hey, that's a pretty strong shield. I mean, it stood a punch through a colony, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe we forgot the Dom. You know, he, whoever so she should be worthy of the power of rage.
That Dom.
Catches the blade of the sword and says, like, you Dom goofed.
Yep.
I think it gets eclipsed by the Ral Dom, because that thing is rad.
Yeah.
I'm glad mine is finally shipping. And, they molded it in two shades of blue this time.
Finally!
That was my big, very, very big complaint about the R35 goof, was that it was all one color.
I don't understand who in molding thinks that's a good idea.
Well, it was all one color, and I sat down to, like, okay, I'm just going to go pick through the manual and start tagging which parts I have to paint darker blue. And literally, it was just the D-plate. You could have just put the D-plate with the darker blue.
Yep.
Saved me a lot
of work.
Yeah.
The Build Fighter kits, so far, Master Grid otherwise, I haven't been terribly impressed with. Although
Mark
I am II. Currently building the... I mean, I can't even say the damn thing. Gundam Finis, what is it, Reconquista? Whatever.
The Finis Renesita.
Renesita, yeah.
Renesita. Yeah, whatever it is. That's kind of cool, but that's just because it uses the wing frame, and that was a really good kit. But the Trion 3 I built, that sucked.
Did you get the P-Band-A wing color version?
I did not. I got the standard.
But
I'm about...
To answer your question, I'm pretty sure it's the same guy who decided that all the non-Gundam high grades don't deserve to have polycaps.
Polycaps are for suckers. Real men use glue.
That one guy who seems to confuse really, really dark blue and black.
Well, those are the same, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah. You know, they really are.
I have no issue with colorblind people. I don't.
I've said it before. I'll say it again.
You shouldn't be working in a color-based job.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I've said it before. I said it again. In the UC, apparently one of the differences between our world and the UC world is that very, very dark blue is apparently black.
Yeah. It's the black unicorn. That's why it's very, very dark blue.
Yeah, the black Gundam, the Mark II Titan. That's not black. That's navy blue.
Yeah, but actually that kind of harkens to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because he was supposed to be red and black. Ditko used blue to fill in the other shadows, and everybody just eventually made him red and blue.
Well, I mean, that and cheaper for ink, probably.
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure it looks better out of the printing
press. Well, a matte black would look awful.
Well, you look at it all. Apparently, there in the Universal Century, there is no spectrum for black other than lines. Because you look at space in most of the shows, it's blue.
Psycho.
Psycho is black for real.
Yeah, Psycho is full-on real black.
That's because it's in Hong Kong. If it ever went into space, no, it wouldn't be black.
You wouldn't put that thing in space? That'd be like putting a gun tank in space. What are you doing?
Why would you do that? That's just dumb.
I know.
See, that's why they made the Mark II Psycho purple and look like a giant, Hamburglar.
No, no. Exactly. A Psycho in space, just looking really awkward.
You know, I bet it's in the Turnhay manga.
Probably.
I mean, they did put Soshi in a Psycho Gundam.
That's no.
Isn't that also the manga where she picked up a Haro that turned out to be a bug in disguise?
Yes,
because bugs weren't bad enough. We need to be able to trick kids into picking them up.
It's a colorful children's toy that will murder your family.
Seriously, those things were an atrocity when they were just whirling chainsaws and laser death.
Yes.
I fucking love and hate bugs. Actually, in that regard, I'm glad we haven't seen anything like the Raphaelites here, really.
Yeah, I'm surprised that didn't show up as a boss fight at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Give them time. They might put it in, but pull away the bugs. Just give it a bunch of laser death.
God, you know what? There's part of me that half expects them to do a follow-up to this that is the Generations show. And then do it again after. Like, I could almost see this becoming a recurring thing. Like,
well,
the Build Fighters being Eclipse almost becoming a second UC, where it's something they keep coming back to.
I wouldn't...
It's fine, but I'd like a little bit of a break. Let's wait a year, especially because we've got now, Iron-Blooded Gundam, or that we're calling
it? Iron-Blooded Orphans, We'll come back to that.
Gundam, but I
would like to go back to this, but this sounds weird to say, it's like, there should have been a little bit more of a break between Build Fighters and Tri.
Yeah,
let's go Tri Fighters to whatever and give it a little more time.
Well, they were definitely chasing lightning on this one.
They seem to be willing to have a little fun with the licenses, so there's also the possibility the next Build Fighters might actually have some more legitimate Sunrise stuff that isn't just a quick cameo.
Oh, I'd love to see a Sunrise Build Fighters and just get, like, Kogias kits and old Guy Meliths.
You know what?
And
full-blown Dunbine. I want to see full-blown Dunbine.
Dunbines.
You give me Dytar.
Oh, yeah.
You have Banjo show up with the girls helping, the dad who is always doing, his international judge shit. I'd be like, give me the kit.
Do it.
Now.
Wait, I think they have a Master Grade series of, Super Robot stuff.
Well, no, because that's through Kotobukiya.
Yeah.
And they won't reprint
no,
this.
No, they have the Mechanics collection.
Oh.
Solid Chogokin is off of Bandai, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, these are actual
Chogokin,
kids, though.
Chogokin's through someone else. It might be Takara or Tamik.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they got, what do they got here? They got Raiden, they got the Great Mazinger, they got Mazinger Z with God Scander mode.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. And then they got Gigawatt.
It's the wings. It's just the wings. We gotta give it a big fucking falutin name for the fact that it finally has fly.
Well, and I would not be opposed to them sort of maybe flexing their muscles and playing nice with Kotobukiya to get some Super Robot Wars stuff in here.
Well, it's not like Banpresto isn't owned by Bandai completely and totally.
Well, no, getting it into animation is easy. Getting kits is hard because they sold the rights to Kotobukiya for apparently way too long.
Yeah. They're nice kits, though.
I know, and I want them to reprint the fucking 60th Aldizen.
What's something really terrifying that I just thought of? Let's have the Build Fighter crew face the Ideon.
No, you know what?
Laser beams to hell for everybody.
No, you know what? Because that's the thing. Ideon runs on hope, but it's the hope induced by near death. And the thing is, if you get the Tri-Crew, they're going to be able to calm Cosmo down. And the other two pilots are fucking irrelevant. And if Cheryl's anywhere near that, you just go, you bitch. And she's done for the day.
Oh, you know what? It won't even be actual Ideon. It'll be just a heavily modified GM. They call it the God of GMs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be a 148 GM.
Yeah.
With truck modes.
Like Jenny,
I want this.
Like, that
I
is
want
not
this.
Good.
Season 3, anytime.
I just want them to say, okay, here's your opponent. A giant 148 skill GM, and it's red and it's got antennas. Everyone's just kind of like, no, I ain't fighting that. No.
Don't wanna.
So I quit. I surrender. I'm not fighting that. No.
They do show up like as like a team or one guy. I want some group that's like, oh, come on, we can totally take him down with this. With my heavily modified goof, I will take down.
Oh, yeah, you need like recurring, you need supporting character to be that guy.
What was the name of that asshole in Tri who kept showing up and thinking he was something?
Oh, that was, that guy.
Mark. Yeah, Mark, he would be the one guy who would fight the Odeon.
Of course he would. He'd show up and he'd be like, I'm so-and-so, because I can never remember his name.
And with my heavily modified Dynamens, I will defeat the giant god.
And then he'd get home.
He goes out there and 30 seconds in, he's dead.
Oh, yeah, just
and once more, when they get him out of the pod, he's mind wiped and he can't remember anything.
Well, it's not even Idion that kills him. He takes position and an asteroid hits him.
This one's a real rock.
And he comes out and he's all like Camille after Zeta. What? Let me out! I want to get out!
It's getting stuffy in here. You're in an open-air environment in the stadium.
No, I'm not!
That's the other thing that was hilarious, is like the whole communications thing when they're standing right next to each other.
Like you can reach over and tap a guy. Like,
I can't hear him!
Just stick your head through the divider wall. Hey, I need help over in section B.
Yeah. The number of times other people have done that too. I'm wondering if it's a rules violation or something. Like if you're not in the fight, you can do it. But if you are, maybe you're not allowed to just lean 2 feet over and be like, "Dude, he's over there.
I can see him." Like apparently, screen watching is a serious fucking no-no.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Ron Baral can give you advice, but. You can't listen to your teammate anyway except through that damn screen.
No.
If you don't have peripheral vision, you don't deserve to win at Halo Night.
That's fair.
And I fully endorse, and I think I may have been a backer on Screen Sheets Kickstarter. But no, do we have any final thoughts on Build Fighter Strike? Because I do want to talk about what we saw from Iron-Blooded Orphans.
I liked it. I had a lot of fun. It was nice to tune in every Wednesday morning and just have something to watch that wasn't basically punch badgers a fucking day.
Yeah.
So, like, it's the first one was better. The first one also had, I found, a more cohesive narrative and a plot that was just something I was more engaged in.
Yeah.
But Tri was a lot more laugh, have fun with the kids. What's the new thing we're going to see this episode? What's the weirdness? How the fuck is Yuma gonna piss me off this time? Oh, look, he did it again! Fucking hell, kids!
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. Not great, but fun.
You know what? I guess where I'm at is I do have sort of, not necessarily a strict ranking of Gundam series. Not necessarily a very strict ranking of, you know, this show is better than this show. But I will say, you know what? This is the one I'm willing to rewatch soonest. This is one that I'm never going to touch again. This is one I'm going to buy. And you know what? I would not be opposed to just sitting down, like finding an excuse to watch all of this all over again. If they give it to me on DVD, I'll probably throw some money at them.
Hell yeah.
And you know what? There's a couple kits from this series I still want to pick up. Like I mentioned my Dom R35 is going to ship. I do kind of want to grab those EZ8 SRs.
They need a triple pack of that, they had those old one-year war kits for the Operation V, the Amphibious Assault, the Black TriStars.
Yeah, I do want, like, the Ground War set for these, because as much as I'd love to buy it three times, I'd also just, I'd be fine with having one box. I don't want to pay that much for shipping. And, that, you know what, it is not quite as jump up as much fun as, say, the original Build Fighters, but I liked it, and... That's what I've got.
For me, it was obvious that it was a rushed sequel, and I appreciate them still putting the effort to actually make it good. There were still plenty of fights where I'm like, you know, shaking my hands, going yes, 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 during the fight. Like it's getting me pumped up. I just felt that some of the villains, or not even villains, the opposing teams, were considerably weaker than some of the rivals you would get from. Season 1, where you cared about Fleeny. you cared about
Nils, even?
You kind of cared about Nils. You cared about Isla. But with these guys, it's just like, oh, hey, we kick your ass and now we get your backstory.
Yeah. And I mean, that's it. This is a show that sort of made me understand my friends who do watch sports ball anime. Sup, Drea. She's been on the show. She likes Yu-Gi-Oh! More than anyone really should. All right, Jeff, what you got to close out on?
Just that Dope Fighters Try is a little bit goofy and silly, and it's supposed to be that way, but this does a good job. This does what Age couldn't do. The whole goal of Age in the long run was bring in younger crowds, you know, keep the standard Gundam fans happy, and make everything work together. It didn't work like that. Build Fighters was the apology for Age. Okay, we're going to try bringing in new fans, but still throwing a bunch of, side characters and little references that only the old school fans will get. Build Fighters Try, for the most part, did the same thing. I agree with what Dan said. Was it a Rush sequel? Yeah. Can you tell at times? Yeah. Were there flaws, like especially in the secondary characters? Did you really care about them other than the good laugh? Not really. But you still had fun, and I still found a few characters that I ended up loving.
Yeah.
And damn it, they finally got a female lead in the Gundam series that was absolutely perfect, and they did it perfectly.
I like Fumina. I think she, like, we got a bunch of female characters that didn't make me feel embarrassed to be watching the show the way, it happened in, I'm going to say Destiny, because fuck Luminaria.
Thank you.
Don't get me started. Just
yeah, no. Okay, so...
Just one more thing on Fuma in that regard. I wish we could have gotten more with Cardian.
I loved that thing.
That was a nice...
Gundam Cardian.
Like, I feel like she needed to do a full-on... Like, she needed to build a Mark II of that.
Yeah. Like, give me something like that. Modify a Striker.
Oh, God.
Like, and I know I always come back to Strikers. I fucking love Strikers.
Do the full hero upgrade. From a GM to a Gundam. Make it the Gundam card again.
Yeah, like...
Well, that's the thing. It's based on the Thunderbolt kits, right? More or less, with some bits of Rezzel.
It's a Thunderbolt combined with a Power GM.
And a Rezzel, and the Rezzel backpack.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's like, you could easily pull the full armor out of a T-Bolt.
Or even, hell, build it on a Hiyakushiki.
It's already yellow.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
This might be something we have to kit bash. Yeah. I may be in line to buy 4 or 5 high grades out of this.
Well, that's the thing, because you've already got kind of a basis for it. If you look at both the land-type Hiyakushiki and the full-armor Hiyakushiki, you can kind of see the pedigree into the cardigan. So it'd be nothing to combine it from there.
Yeah.
Damn. This ain't a bad idea.
Model contest, here we come.
When the next Gunpla thing when the next version of this show comes up and I'm running another event on MHQ, you guys are more than welcome to enter.
One of us will end up doing that, probably. Yep. The other big thing that happened in Gundam right now is we got the press conference for Iron-Blooded Orphans in G.
Yep. We don't do same titles anymore.
Oh, why would we have same titles that are marketable in worldwide?
No.
Sir.
That's why G Reconquista is doing so well.
Yes.
Next episode, we will.
Yeah.
I've still got the last two fucking episodes to watch.
I'm going to be perfectly honest. I bailed halfway through on that series.
I made it 3. I made it 3. It's just maybe it gets better later on, but that early pacing.
We'll get to that.
Yeah,
but our impressions on Taketsu, it is pushing a lot of buttons that I've sort of been wanting from Gundam for a while. It's something that is not just reminding me of X, but reminding me of Dougram.
Yeah. I don't know. I got a lot of 8th MS team when I watch that.
Well, I got all 3 of those.
Serious is a lot of the vibe I'm getting on this. It's we want to tell a war story.
Well, the thing that gets me most about when I'm looking at this kit or this suit, it's like everything I look at that suit tells me this is a melee suit. Say, this thing is armored up to the teeth, but there's no real guns on it. It's all going to be swords, maces, and hammers.
This thing has a motherfucking axe.
Oh, bro.
It doesn't even have a beam saber. Like, the typical base loadout of the Gundam is the head Vulcans and the beam saber. This thing doesn't have that.
Yeah, this has got a whole lot of melee weapons. So, like, if this is going to be a war story, it's going to be a friggin' brutal one.
It's going to be up close and personal. Yeah. I mean, I hope, and it looks like it's willing to go not just serious, but a little depressing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's a character named Biscuit Griffin, and he is my homeboy. But I feel like this is a show that isn't going to have the main character ranting about understanding and using his superpowers to not kill anyone.
No, this is more
This looks like a show almost from like Xeon perspective, at least early on, saying, no, this is about a group of kids, orphans, as the title implies, who are out for revenge, and by revenge I mean you kill a whole lot of people with this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, just the fact that he's from a PMC, and I get the feeling that he's got kills under his belt before the show even starts.
Like, they're showing them in tanks.
Yeah.
And I bet he's a tank ace.
And then they get a hold of this new weapon, and it's like, whenever we can do this thing.
They're saying it's a very old weapon they're finally repurposing. And I'm like,
oh, really?
Well, it's got to adapt. It's got that onboard learning computer.
There's a lot of things I'm liking to hear about this.
Well, that explains, if it is like an old piece of machinery or
like
old piece of
one of the summaries says, one of the summaries says they were using it basically to generate power for their base. Like, it's got a functioning fusion reactor, but we don't want to field it because we can't afford it.
Well, you don't want to lose that. I mean, you're in 40K territory.
Yeah.
Right. Send our engine out into battle. We got no other choice.
Yeah.
Well, from what I saw, like, just from that minute and a half preview we got, it seems like almost like Gundam meets Battletech. Like, the kids have to have neural implants to hook up to their machines. They're working with whatever they could scrounge up. And it's kind of post-apocalyptic because something happened 300 years ago that, you know, people are kind of in this city-state situation where they're scraping by, but they're still fighting each other. Like, it's not from what it looks like, it's not a united Mars.
Yeah.
There's, like, a lot of factions.
It's feudal Japan.
Yeah.
It's always feudal Japan.
Well, and that's definitely why we're getting a MechWarrior vibe, because that was space feudalism like crazy until the Clan Wars ruined the setting forever.
Yes. I'm not gonna agree with you.
You cannot beat me on that point. It cannot be done.
I'm just trying to decide if I want to put you in a worse mood or not.
Somehow it'll end with me, three whiskeys in, yelling about how jihad is the stupidest idea ever.
Shadowrun.
I am composed.
Jim, I would step away from you right now.
Billion molecules. And the word hate were stamped upon each atometer of each of those molecules. It would not be enough to describe how I feel about Shadowrun. Hate.
And that is how we end the show.
And ladies and gentlemen, I am now a little scared to come there now, folks.
You'll be fine. Just don't mention the word that nobody's supposed to say.
Beetlejuice is rad. Shadowrun can die in numerous fires.
Doesn't make it appear, thankfully.
And now...
That'd be weird, man.
That could end badly. Cool. All right. So that's an episode. We'll catch you next time.
It's been a blast, folks.
I'm not sure about the t-shirt that says Shadowrun, though.
Are you trying to die?
You know, he's not going to pick you up from that.
Like, I'm willing
he's
to
actually pull. Probably going to park his car on the track so it derails before it comes in.
No, I'm just going to, you know what? I know how there's Lake Ontario's really big.
That's true. Lots of things get lost in that.
Yeah.
None of them can swim. Even if they can, it doesn't matter. Not where the other things that are in there. Just makes it take longer.
Good night, everybody!
I thought they smelled bad. On the outside!
I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike International 3.0 license. Visit sbopodcast.com for more shows, contact information, and show notes. Thank you.